In the name of one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning and happy Easter to you. We are still in the season of Easter. And today we talk about change and transition and growth. There's a particular anxiety, euphoria, pain, excitement, exhaustion, and satisfaction in just saying those words together. Here we are in the final Sunday of the Easter tide, Easter 7 as we call it. And each week we have one worship service outdoors, we have three indoors, we have one online. That hasn't been our pattern through the entire season. We've been enduring and engaging change and transition and growth in this larger period of time during the pandemic for quite some time now. First, we went from online services with our clergy and our musicians here in the cathedral together until it became too risky. And then we changed to online services from our homes and then to a hybrid of home and cathedral. And here we are today, having come through Lent and Easter, Pentecost, Advent, Epiphany, Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, all of the ordinary times in between, and Easter again. And we're one Sunday away from the Feast of Pentecost again. Change is swirling about us. Change and transition and growth. And I tend to think some things about these three. The first thing is that they aren't always connected. They aren't always something that becomes interwoven. They don't always lead to us becoming someone other than who we are today. You may know the phrase, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Well, sometimes that's true, and sometimes change does lead to significant transition and growth. Sometimes change is just what we witness or we engage that can be chalked up to something that is outside of ourselves, an exterior marker of just something that's different. My guess is that some of the changes in the lives of some of you, some of all of us, may be paired with significant transition and growth. Some of you are graduating. Some of you are retiring from lengthy careers. Some of you are moving from one place to another, changing jobs. Some of you are still grieving the death of a loved one, or a nearly loved one, or a friend, or a coworker. Perhaps you've been diagnosed with an illness, a new disease. All of these moments have the potential for joy and or sorrow, and it's okay when both of those things come at the same time, a little bit joyful and a little bit sorrowful. That's change. And then there's transition. Transition is something different. Transition is what is happening inside of us, something that is making us view the world around us in a different light. It's as if we are a crystal that the light of Christ shines through, and now as our crystal turns, the light is coming out in a very, very different way. Transition. And there's a lot of change and transition going on in our lessons today. For the disciples, the Acts of the Apostles, Peter has called for an election of sorts. The time has finally come for the disciples to propose names for a new apostle, the one who will take the place of the fulfiller of the scripture, Judas, who became a guide for those who would arrest Jesus. The 11 will become 12 with the casting of lots, the rolling of the dice, seems to be a clever sound way to choose to me. And it seems to work out well for Matthias. And there will be this transition for the apostles and for Matthias as well. And in the gospel, there is something very different going on, something familiar. It's a return to Holy Week and the Garden of Gethsemane. Just prior to this reading of John, we get many teachings of Jesus. We get that he is the way and the truth and the life. We get that he won't leave the disciples orphaned. We get that he's the true vine, that they are to love each other as Jesus has loved them. And finally, that he is leaving and that he will see them again. And just after this passage, we'll hear of Judas' betrayal. I'm not certain I'm ready to go back to that just so soon. There's a peculiar thing about change and transition. My experience is that I have often tried to prepare for change when I could, to think my way through what possibility would happen if the nth degree of what could happen could happen. And rarely has any of my preparation prepared me for what could happen if there was transition. What would happen if what was outward and visible became inward and spiritual and created a realignment in me? Well, Jesus knows a change is coming. A change is coming, and he's doing the heavy lifting to prepare the apostles for what it might be, what he knows it to be, as much as they can be prepared anyway. He needs them to consider what transition might look like and what growth might look like. Something else has to happen, and he knows that. Something has to happen because he's going to be crucified. He's going to die. He'll be buried. He'll be resurrected and he will ascend. Not to return until he returns. Something else has to happen for them to transition and grow. I wonder how many of them could feel the churning inside of them. Which one of them could sense what would be different? Sense it in a way that it made sick to their stomachs. The way we know something's happening and we get goosebumps and we get chills and we kind of know. For me, when that happens, I have to come to a point of recognizing that my only way out is to be vulnerable and to have faith. To admit that I'm scared, at what might happen, and to admit that I've got to have some help. I've got to have others who are with me who can help me to get through something. And Jesus seems to be telling them that something new is coming right at them, and they're going to have to live into this tension of life that comes with deciding if they will hang on to where they are or if they will let go and go to where they are to be. It kind of reminds me of the parable of the trapeze. I don't know if you know that one. It's a parable written by Dan and Pari, and it attempts to uncover the secrets of how we navigate these moments of vulnerability and faith. Pari writes this: sometimes I feel that my life is a series of trapeze swings. I'm either hanging on to a trapeze bar, swinging along, or for a few moments of life, I'm hurtling across space in between trapeze bars. Pari continues, most of the time I spend my life hanging on for dear life. It carries me along at a certain steady rate of swing and have the feeling that I'm in control of my life. But every once in a while, as I'm merrily swinging along, I look out ahead of me into the distance, and what do I see? I see another trapeze bar swinging toward me, and it's empty, and I know that this new trapeze bar has my name on it. The best version of the parable of the trapeze is on YouTube, and I'll post it later on a social networking platform, and if you email me, I'll send you the link. Jesus seems to be saying something similar, that as much as we would like to hold on to where we are, as much as we would like to hold on to Him, we have to let go completely to move to where we're supposed to be, where change is sending us, and where transition can actually take place. Pari writes further, "Each time I'm filled with terror, I do it anyway." Perhaps, Pari says, is the essence of what the mystics call the faith experience. It's called transition. I've come to believe, as this author, that transition is the only place that real growth can ever occur. Growth that lasts forever. Growth that leads us to more growth and more transition. And finally, this spiritual awakening. Because change is real, and transition is possible, and it can produce anxiety and euphoria and pain and excitement and exhaustion and satisfaction, all of those feelings. Jesus, at every step, is asking us to be vulnerable, to take great leaps of faith, to believe that we will grab for what is new and it will be there for us because Jesus will be there for us, that God will show us the way and that the Holy Spirit will provide us with that extra gust should we come up short. Change that becomes transition, that becomes growth, it's hard. It's hard work because it requires vulnerability. It requires faith. Living in a way that we lose ourselves completely in order to find ourselves completely, it means risking ourselves emotionally by stepping into the mystery of the resurrection, the mystery of the ascension, in such a way that we know even when we are afraid, we have to reach out as we are, because we are enough. Jesus is calling us to trust as He continues preparing us for the Holy Spirit who readies herself to take flight and to land upon us and land within us. Jesus is calling us to new heights, to our own ascensions, to take on our own wings and to fly.